3-1 count. Has that runner on first base with nobody out. Restine looking to go through this order without damage, but misses another one inside, and back-to-back walks to start off the seventh inning for Cannon Restine. Not what the Rafters are wanting to see as Moreno goes over to second base and a mound visit from Ziggy, and it looks like they're making the call to the bullpen. So a new pitcher for the Rafters yet again is, it looks like that's Tony Torres coming into the game for Wisconsin Rapids. So Tony Torres coming into the game as Cannon Restine comes out after he faced the first two batters here in the seventh inning. And Torres, him and Martinez have kind of been used in these late game situations recently. But another guy who has as well is Ashton Poole. Poole a couple of opportunities late in the games, and you like to see how he's been playing as of late. Been impressive to see him kind of coming back from a rough start to the season, but Tony Torres hoping to kind of be that setup guy. He got the first hold of the season for the Rafters earlier on the road when they were at Fond du Lac. The Rafters hadn't had a hold prior to that point. And so now with Torres coming into the game, that does mean that Cannon Restine's night is done. And talking about what Restine did, he went a total of one inning pitched, allowed two hits. No runs to this point, but he's got two runners inherited by Torres. Restine, two walks, no strikeouts. He didn't hit any batters with pitches, and along with that, no wild pitches as he faced a total of seven batters on 26 pitches. That's the line on Restine, and Tony Torres looking to go through this one as his last time up. You look at Torres, and it was that time at Fond du Lac. And there he only recorded the one out, but wasn't needed for much more than that. Had a scoreless seventh inning the night prior to that as well. But that was back at Witter Field against the Dock Spiders. On the season, allowing batters a .235 batting average, but he has really struggled with inherited runners this season. He's inherited a total of 8 runners when he's come into games, but he's allowed 7 of them to score. So really hoping to turn that around here is he's hoping to keep on proving himself out here. And always a fun pitcher to see is he's a guy who comes from southeastern Louisiana. And you look at his first game for the Rafters. It was in the season opener. He had a perfect first inning of action back in the ninth inning against Green Bay on that. I mean, he had his first win of the season recording the final out back on May 31st against Rockford back in game number 2. And one that was a crazy night for the Rafters, but they won that second game, and Tony Torres, a key part of that. On the season, Torres' numbers a little bit lackluster. He's got a 6.3 ERA. It's not bad, but would love to really get that better. Over 10 innings of action. This is his 10th appearance on the season. He leads the team in total appearances, and with runners on first and second, he's hoping to make the most of it. Nobody out in a 7-6 ball game. The Mallards have the lead in the bottom of the seventh. Pitch on the way from Torres. Misses low and away to bring it 1-0. Up at the plate, it's Mikey Bell. Bell already off to a strong start today. He drew a walk back in the fifth inning his last time up. But he's 2-for-3 on the night with a run and an RBI. As runners on first and second, sends this one high in the air towards deep left center field. On the run out there, it's Clayton who makes the catch on the warning track. He'll throw it on in to Parker at short, and he'll keep it in his glove as both runners advance on the fly ball, but there's out number 1 in the bottom of the seventh. That's a key one, and you're okay with that because you got the out. You didn't allow the run to score, but now you've really got to lock it in. And Mikey Bell is really the guy that you're just got to be, hey, get him out any way possible and don't let the run score, and you're okay with it. Now you've got Carson Hansen, who has still been good, even though not quite as good tonight as Mikey Bell, but he is a phenomenal batter, so another guy that you've really got to watch out for. He's got runners on second and third as the first pitch misses a little low for ball number one to bring it 1-0. Hansen, the left-handed hitting right fielder for the Mallards, 2-for-4 on the game. Flew out to left field his last time up, though. That was back in the fifth inning to end the inning. Nobody on first base, so no double play, and he rips it right on by, but barely foul of the first baseline in front of Matt and Akko, and count rolls to 1-1. On deck, Davis Hamilton, who is 1-for-3 on the game. You're getting to a part of the order who's faced a little more struggles after this, but the Mallards lineup has been batting relatively well all the way through. Every single Mallard has at least one hit in the game, and six of them have two hits. Time taken here as Tony Torres and Ashton Zacher are waiting around for the Mallards batter to get in. Looks like he wanted a different bat, so stepping off to the side and picking one up from the dugout. Now Hansen will step back into the batter's box. Still has runners on second and third with one out. A 1-1 count. A one-run ball game in the bottom of the seventh. Mallards already have the lead. Infield is pushed in on the left side. Right side, it's a little pushed in. 1-1 count is ripped over to first base. Akko bats it down, but he can't pick it up. And no out is going to be recorded. It hit Akko off the chest, but bounced away from him. Couldn't quite keep it in front of him all the way. And there is still only one out, but the Mallards add a second run to their lead. It's 8-6, Madison, in the bottom of the seventh inning now, so they respond with that pickup. And a big one there as it's an infield single. Puts runners back on first and second as Moreno did not advance. First pitch on the way to the left-handed hitting Hamilton. It's fouled down that left field line out of play towards the inflatable area near the concourse. Lots of events going on over there, as often there are here at the Duck Pond. An 0-1 count to Davis Hamilton after he fouled that one away. He's still got runners on first and second. And Torres taking time. Pitches it home, but misses it low and inside. Nearly got away from Zacher, but a good pickup from the rafters catcher as he grabs it for a ball. 1-1 count with one away. Runners on first and second. 8-6, the Mallards lead. They scored the one run just a second ago on the RBI single from Carson Hansen after the rafters had scored six unanswered, four in the top of the seventh and two in the top of the fifth. And time called here is that's a pitch clock violation on Tony Torres. So the count now 2-1 on the automatic ball. And a 2-1 count with one away. The left-hander Hamilton looking to make something happen. Batting 306 on the season, this pitch misses inside for ball number three. It's now a 3-1 count. On deck, it's Nate Voss, who's already been retired, three of his four plate appearances. So that's kind of the guy that you want to be facing, but you don't really want to be facing anyone right now. 3-1 count, it's outside for ball number four, and the bases are loaded. Torres not finding the location that he was hoping for as he walks Davis Hamilton. It's the first walk of the night for Torres, but it's the third walk of the inning for the Rafters. So now Liam Moreno is on third base, Carson Hansen is on second, and Davis Hamilton is on first base. One out, Bases loaded, bottom of the seventh inning. Rafters already down two, trying to keep it there, and a big swing and a miss from Nate Voss brings the count 0-1. And Voss has been getting a good hit on the ball. On the three times that he's been retired tonight, all of them have been on flyouts to the outfield. And he also has the single from the fourth inning. 0-1 count is a little outside and goes back even at a 1-1 count. On deck now, Cole Kosciuszko. But Torres hoping to get out of the inning here. Double play is in order, but the infield is pushed in, which will make it a little bit more difficult. 1-1 count, gets a swing and a miss. It's now 1-2 to Nate Voss. Voss trying to avoid being retired for the fourth time today. On the season, batting .314 with 14 RBIs and a pair of homers, so he's already done plenty of damage this year. Trying to do it again. The pitch here gets a swing and a miss. Tony Torres with the K, and it's a big one for out number two. So the two outs with the bases loaded in the bottom of the seventh inning. Torres hoping to keep everyone where they're at as Cole Kosciuszko steps up to the plate. Kosciuszko, the left-handed hitting first baseman for the Mallards, already batting 2-for-4 on the game. First pitch to him, misses low for ball number one. This is Kosciuszko's first game for the Mallards, making his debut in front of the home crowd. Already giving them a reason to cheer, and they are cheering loudly here at the Duck Pond. A 1-0 count on the way. It's outside for ball number two, and now Torres is going to be fighting from behind. 2-0 count. Kosciuszko, he singled back in the sixth inning. That was his last time up. Struck out swinging in the fourth. Bases are still loaded in a 2-0 count with two away. Pitch from Torres. It is inside for ball number three. Torres got to find the zone here. No free bases. On deck, Brock Lulowitz, who doubled his last time up. A lot of batters swinging a hot bat, so you really just want to get every out that you can. 3-0 count on the way. It's inside ball four, and the Rafters walked home a run. It's 9-6 in the bottom of the seventh. And it's a three-run Mallards lead. RBI for Kosciuszko. It's his second of the game and of the season. And the walk sends Davis Hamilton over to second base. Sends Carson Hansen to third. And it scores Liam Moreno. Two away, bases loaded in the bottom of the seventh. A three-run Mallards lead, and the new batter up at the plate is the lefty, Lulowitz, who takes the first pitch for strike number one. Lulowitz, the left-handed hitting second baseman. This is his fifth plate appearance of the game. He is 2-for-4. His last time up, he had a double in the sixth inning. 0-1 count is a fly ball down the left field line, but well out of play, and it goes to an 0-2 count. Torres one strike away from getting out of this inning with no further damage, but already two runs came across. Rafters still have a positive seventh inning. They were down five runs entering the seventh, but thanks to scoring four in the top of the seventh, not too bad. 0-2 count on the way from Torres, and this one's hit high in the air towards left field. Down the line, Clayton is not there, but it's just foul. Not by much down that left field line. Clayton was giving it chase, but lands maybe a couple feet to the left and in the dirt. So, count stays 0-2. Torres gets another chance at him to see if he can finish him off. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Bases still loaded, an 0-2 count with two away in the bottom of the seventh. Torres looking to finish the job in the inning. The pitch comes home, but it misses inside and brings the count 1-2. Noah Sheffield is on deck, and Sheffield already has a home run in the game along with another hit. Of course, you know he's a great batter. Really, there's not anyone that you can look at in this lineup and say, is it? 1-2 count coming home, and a check swing. Did he go? No, he didn't. And Nick Adrian was already walking off. He thought that was strike three. So did Tony Torres. All right, that's Ashton Zacher behind the plate. Just got so used to Adrian being behind there. It's good to see Ashton Zacher back. Zacher had missed the past couple of games due to a hand injury, but back in the lineup now, and not Nick Adrian. It's a 2-2 count to Lulowitz. Torres fires. It's hit up the middle. Soft grounder over to second, and it's going to be a 4-6 flip for the fielder's choice to get out number three. So two runs come across on the one hit. There were no errors in the inning, and there were three left on base. It's into the top of the eighth we go as the Rafters down 9-6 here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Braden Gilson is back on the rubber for the Madison Mallards after he did allow back-to-back hits but was able to work out of that seventh inning. Rafters, they're down 9-6 as we hit the top of the eighth inning here, and hoping to complete this comeback. They were down just one run earlier. However, two runs came across for the Mallards in the bottom of the eighth, or in the bottom of the seventh inning, after the Rafters had scored six unanswered to that point. And the first pitch from Gilson is in there for strike number one, and the leadoff batter for the Rafters is Jack Guerrero. Guerrero led off last inning as he swings and misses at this pitch for strike number two. Count rolls to an 0-2 count. Guerrero 0-for-1 on the game. He drew a walk his last time up and came around to score. He's got a pair of runs this game and a pair of walks. Also has one strikeout. 0-2 count. It's away for ball number one. 1-2 count. Guerrero, Kobayashi, and Clayton do up here in the eighth for the Rafters. That's the 7-8-9 batters, and all three of them have reached multiple times this game. Swing and a miss from Guerrero, though, and he goes down on strikes. It's his second strikeout of the game, and now one away in the top of the eighth inning. Brings up Hiroto Kobayashi to the plate with the bases empty and one out in the top of the eighth inning, down three runs. Kobayashi, the right-handed hitting right fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup. But how much does the righty-righty matchup matter when a pitcher throws sidearm? I imagine it matters a little bit less as that pitch is in there for strike number one, although maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it matters even more. 0-1 count to Kobayashi. He takes this pitch a little bit low for ball number one, and count moves to a 1-1 count. Kobayashi was hit by a pitch his last time up back in the seventh inning. Walked in the fifth and came around to score as that pitch is called for strike number two. And now the count 1-2. As I mentioned earlier, the Rafters going to be taking on the Mallards in a doubleheader tomorrow as this pitch misses for ball number two, a 2-2 count. And those two completely separate games. First one at 1:05 p.m. It'll be a full nine innings, followed by another full nine innings at 6:30. Late swing here, but Kobayashi able to make contact with the pitch and send it foul down the first baseline. Remains a 2-2 count. And the Mallards trying to stay ahead of the Wausau Woodchucks in the standings. It's a tight race between the two of them in the lead of the Great Lakes West. 2-2 count. It's a breaking ball hit down the right field line and foul into the stands. So still a 2-2 count. This will be pitch number seven to Kobayashi, who saw just one pitch in the second inning, but past that point, he's been able to work on base both of the next two times. This one's hit to the left side of the infield, over to short. Six back on to first base in time for out number two. 6-3 in the books there, and it brings up Royce Clayton Jr. with two outs and the bases empty in the top of the eighth inning. Rafters down 9-6 on the scoreboard here at Madison. And recently, the Rafters have been struggling as of late, not just on the road, but at home as well. On the road for the season, they are 4-5, as that pitch is going to be a strike to Clayton. Makes it an 0-1 count. Clayton is 1-for-2 on the game as this pitch misses low for ball number one. Brings it back even 1-1. Clayton grounded into a 5-4 fielder's choice back in the seventh inning and came around to score on it. He also stole a base on the pads that time as there's a pitch called for strike number two. Clayton trying to stay patient, but he's down in the count as Gilson's been attacking the strike zone. And the right-hander on the mound, Braden Gilson, looking to keep rolling along. 1-2 count, gets a swing and a miss on the off-speed for strike number three, and that's the second strikeout of the game for Gilson. Goes three up, three down in the eighth. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base as it remains a 9-6 ball game heading into the bottom of the eighth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last two or three decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Tony Torres able to go one inning without allowing a run on his line, although he did allow the two inherited runners to score, which made it a 9-6 game. We're in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Mallards have the lead, and the new pitcher on for the Raptors, it's Ashton Poole. Poole, the right-handed pitcher, who comes over from Iowa Central College. He'll be facing off Noah Sheffield, Jimmy Anderson, and Liam Moreno due up in the bottom of the eighth, hoping that we'll get to see a bottom of the ninth here. But the Raptors got some work to do, as this is a fly ball hit high in the air towards center field. Gunnar Myro there, and he will make the catch for out number one. One pitch, one out, as, well, Poole, not too much of a strikeout guy. He's just more of a let's throw strikes and let the opponent do damage. And, well, they did do damage at the beginning of the season, but it's been working more in his favor as of late. And the damage didn't really seem like high-quality hits. There were a lot of dribblers that just couldn't be made plays on early in the year. Now he's getting outs, but this, a breaking ball that completely slipped out of his hand and went towards the Mallards' dugout area. It's a 1-0 count to Jimmy Anderson. It was well behind him. Anderson up at the plate. It's his sixth time up today. He is 2-for-4 in the game. His last time up, he drew a walk and came around to score in the seventh. 1-0 count. It's a grounder over to short. Parker is there. He picks it up. Double clutches and throws to first, and they got him just in time. By a millisecond there, and a tough throw from Eric Parker is able to record out number two, 6-3 in the books. So it brings up Liam Moreno to the plate with two outs and nobody on here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Moreno, the right-handed hitting left fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup against Poole. First pitch on the way. It's in there for strike number one, an 0-1 count. Moreno on the game is 1-for-3. He doubled back in the third inning. But his last time up, he drew a walk in the seventh and came around to score. 1-2-0-1 count is fouled down that right field line and moves to an 0-2 count. Mikey Bell on deck if it gets to him, and the Raptors trying to get out of this inning. Poole looking for a 1-2-3 frame. He's been on a hot streak as of late. Would love to keep it going. 0-2 count. Misses outside for ball number one. It's now 1-2. And looking a little bit more at what Poole has been able to do this season. Not this season, more specifically as of late. Poole, his last time out, he did allow one run in his one inning against Traverse City. Back in game number one. 1-2 count here is called for strike number three. Got him looking. And that's three up, three down for Ashton Poole. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. And it's a 9-6 ball game. Raptors got to get at least three runs, four runs to take the lead when we return in the top of the ninth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
And the Rafters down to their last three outs. They need three runs here in the top of the ninth inning. It's 9-6 Madison Mallards, and the batters do up this inning. It's the top of the order, 1-2-3, Mason Oñate, Gunnar Myro, and Ashton Zacher. And a new pitcher onto the mound for the Mallards. It's Keith Davis, a left-handed pitcher. It's a lefty-lefty matchup as the first one misses inside to Oñate for ball number one. And Keith Davis looking for his first save of the season. This is a save opportunity. Three-run game as that pitch hits the outside edge to bring it 1-1. Oñate is 0-4 in the game. However, he does have an RBI from his fifth inning fielder's choice. And he had been really on a tear until taking on Madison here, and they've got his number. 1-1 count to the lefty. It misses a little outside, and count now 2-1. On deck, Myro, who had kind of been in a similar spot, although Myro did finally pick up that RBI single in the seventh inning. 2-1 count on the way. It's a grounder, and it fouled down that first base line. So now a 2-2 count, and Oñate, on the season, he entered today for the Rafters, being one of the better batters, as I mentioned, batting .333 on the season. He has 14 RBIs, now 15 RBIs after his one from earlier today. He's the second on the team in RBIs, only behind Noah Ruiz, as here's a high grounder to the right side of the infield, and Oñate might be able to beat him out to first, and he does! Oñate was able to beat out the pitcher who was trying to cover but was too late. So an infield single for Mason Oñate, outrunning Keith Davis over to first base. Now that puts the tying runner on deck. So a runner on first base, nobody out for the right-handed hitting center fielder, Gunnar Myro. Myro up for his fifth time today. I mentioned it earlier, he had that big RBI single earlier in the game. First pitch to him is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. First hit of the game for Mason Oñate that last play. The Mallards had scored two runs in the bottom of the seventh inning after the Rafters had scored six unanswered. Swing and a miss here from Gunnar Myro brings the count 0-2. And those six unanswered were after the Mallards had scored seven. They led 7-0, then it was 7-6. Now a 9-6 game where the Mallards still have the lead. Runner on first, 0-2 count to Myro. It's outside for ball one. Nearly gets away, and it does get away from Nate Voss and Mason Oñate going over to second base. Hey, why not? Wild pitch there, and now a runner in scoring position, and it takes away the possibility of an easy double play at least. Always a chance for a double play with a runner on base, although when nobody's on first, it's few and far between. 1-2 count with nobody out. Pitch to Myro. It's a swing and a miss. A great off-speed from Keith Davis. Gets the strikeout, and that's the first out of the ninth inning. One away with a runner on second base, and it brings up Ashton Zacher. Three-run Mallards lead, and Zacher, he hit that home run back in the seventh inning. It was an opposite field shot over the left field wall. A two-run homer. And that was a big one. Made it a one-run game. He takes this pitch on the outside for strike number one. And Zacher with that homer there. I mean, it was one that really made the Rafters feel good. It was his first home run of the season as well. 0-1 count on the way. Lefty-lefty matchup. This pitch misses outside, and count goes to a 1-1 count. And, well, Ziggy, a guy who oftentimes does use pinch hitters, especially to get matchups, I'm a little surprised we're not seeing Nick Adrian in this situation, who's a right-handed batter. 1-1 count. It's a high grounder up the middle. Zacher's going to try and beat it out. A long throw. It's not in time, and he's safe at first. Infield single, and they are on the corners. That's two infield singles for the Rafters here in the ninth inning, and it brings the tying runner to the plate. And here's where we'll see a substitution as Ashton Zacher goes off to the side, and J.J. Garcia is a pinch runner for Ashton Zacher. So J.J. Garcia is into the game, pinch running for Ashton Zacher, and I'd have to imagine that he comes back out of the game in the bottom of the ninth if it gets to that point. The Rafters are hoping to see the bottom of the ninth. Down three runs here, it's the top of the ninth inning. They've got runners on the corners, and they've got the tying runner at the plate, the go-ahead runner on deck. And right now, it's going to be up to Eric Parker. Drew Thompson, he's the guy on deck. And Eric Parker, man, he has been waiting for kind of that clutch moment for the Rafters to really redeem himself from about a week ago, when he made an error over at shortstop. And, well, he's been waiting for the chance to really show Rafters fans, hey, I still can be clutch. And we know that he's got it in him. He's got a very big bat, and he's shown it off a couple of times. He has no home runs on the season, but he's got extra base hits. Runners on first and third with one out. First pitch, it's an early swing from Parker, as he goes right on through it to bring the count 0-1. Parker on the day, he is up for the fifth time. He's 1-for-4. He singled back in that seventh inning. On the mound, Keith Davis, still looking to get through this. It's an 0-1 count on the way home to Parker, and it's on the outside edge, called for strike number two. And the Rafters, if this ends up being a double play, well, it would make them nine straight losses that have come down to the last at-bat. They have lost the last eight games that have come down to the last at-bat. And a swing and a miss here is strike number three. So the Rafters trying desperately to avoid fate. And so far, it's not Parker's night. Brings up Drew Thompson to the plate, the right-handed hitting pitcher, who is a guy that came in as a pinch runner for Andre Madunio earlier, and, well, he never made it past first. However, he's now the designated hitter, and a pitching change after the mound visit. So there are runners on first and third, and a new pitcher coming up here for the Mallards, as that does it for Keith Davis's night, which also means that we're going to go ahead and hit a quick break. And when we come back, it's more from the ninth inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcoming you back in to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. It's the top of the ninth inning, and the Rafters down three runs, but the tying runner at the plate for the Rafters. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's been a fun one here in Madison. I'm Austin Thomas, the radio broadcaster, and hoping for a win here for the Rafters. It is a much-needed one, and in games that have come down to the last at-bat, the Rafters have lost their last eight. So, they really need one to go their direction, to say the least. And it's not that they haven't had the opportunities. I mean, they are a talented team, and that's the reason that they're in so many of these games. And it's just not quite coming up at the end of these games with these opportunities. It's going to be up to Drew Thompson with runners on first and third and two outs in the top of the ninth. The new pitcher, Joe Husak, gets a check swing, hit over to second base, and this does it. 4-3 on the putout, and that is game over. Final score, 9-6. The Mallards win once again. The Rafters can't quite do it, coming down to the last at-bat. And once more, the final score, 9-6. Quick break. We'll come back with more of a breakdown, a look back at how it all happened, and a look at the stats here on the Rafters postgame show on WFHR.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures one in three adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and share this overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Postgame show coming your way here from Madison, Wisconsin. It was a bad news Thursday night as the Rafters fall once again to the Madison Mallards, Final score 9-6. Looking back at how it happened, it was one that the Mallards led large early on, and the Rafters tried to make the comeback but just fell up short. In the second inning, that's when the first run came across. It was on a two-run bomb from Noah Sheffield off of Anthony Mateo, made it 2-0. In the third inning, that's when all the runs started coming across for the Mallards. They scored 5 runs. 4 of them were on the line of Anthony Mateo, 1 off of Kenny Schultz, who relieved him near the end, but did allow a couple of those inherited runners to score. So then, after the 5-run inning, it was 7-0 Mallards, and it goes scoreless in the fourth, but top of the fifth comes around, and the Rafters are able to put up a couple runs of their own, so they're no longer scoreless. They score 2 runs on the walk, and hit by pitch before a couple of sacrifices send home the next 2 runners. So 7-2 at the end of the fifth inning, a scoreless sixth inning, and then in the top of the seventh, the Rafters score some more. They score a pair of runs to start it off. First on a error when Jack Guerrero came home to score on an E2, trying to catch the runner Royce Clayton Jr. stealing second. It went all the way out to center field, and that allowed an easy take of home from Jack Guerrero. So that made it a 7-3 ball game. It made it 7-4 when Clayton came home to score on the RBI single from Gunnar Myro. And then the next plate appearance, Ashton Zacher crushed one to the opposite field over the left field wall, and that made it a 1-run game. 7-6 was the score, but bottom of the seventh comes around, and that's when Madison added 2 more insurance runs, and that was what they needed to do. It was on an RBI single from Carson Hansen and an RBI bases-loaded walk from Cole Kosciuszko, as that finished off the game. The Rafters did have the tying runner at the plate in the ninth. It was a leadoff single from Onyade, and then a one-out single from Ashton Zacher put runners on the corners, but a strikeout of Eric Parker and the 4-3 ground out from Drew Thompson finished it off as Joe Husak ended up getting the save for the Mallards. So final score 9-6, and the Rafters drop to 7-16 on the year, really needing it to turn around. Looking back at the box score and how it all happened, Ashton Zacher had one of the better nights of everyone here, 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 RBIs and a walk, so he reached base 3 times. Offensively outside of that, Guerrero reached a couple of times thanks to a pair of walks. Andre Madunio also reached base twice. He walked once and got a hit as well. A few Rafters got hits, but not too many of them reached multiple times. And on the pitching side, though, it was a lot better. Kenny Schultz, 2 2/3 innings in his return to the Rafters. He allowed just 1 run. It was earned. Cannon Restein allowed 2 runs over 1 inning. Tony Torres did not allow a run on his record over his 1 inning, although 2 inherited runners that were from Restein did come home to score. And Ashton Poole, a very good 8th inning, I should say, as he helped the Rafters keep it close, but it wasn't close enough. Rafters lose the game, unfortunately, 9-6, but that is going to do it from here. The next game for the Rafters is going to be taking place once again here from the Duck Pond. It'll be at 1:05 p.m. It's a doubleheader tomorrow, 1:05 p.m. for the first game. The second game won't start until 6:35, so there will be a full downtime period in between games. And then game number 2 will start around later in the day. Drew Thompson will be the first pitcher tomorrow for the Rafters, and Charlie O'Shell for the Mallards, he'll be pitching as well. For the Rafters in game 2, it'll be Cameron Douglas going up against Brandon Cahill for the Mallards in game number 2. That's what we're looking at tomorrow on the slate. It'll be a fun one. We'll do back-to-back games here on a hopefully beautiful Friday night. But from Madison today, that does it. One more time, final score 9-6. The Mallards take the win. And as always, I do truly appreciate you tuning in and supporting the Rafters all season long. For myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
It's important for us to remember, right, the bill itself, the provisions of the bill are wildly unpopular. When people understand what's in the bill, people who are aware that it exists, they don't support it. They're not supportive of the direction that this is moving us into. What I worry about is people don't even know that this is happening. There's so much chaos coming out of the White House and Washington in general. wars, like, you know, sending the National Guard and the Marines to go arrest citizens, like all sorts of crazy stuff. And, you know, when I look at my local news in South, like where I grew up in South Florida, and when I look at, you know, the local news in New Jersey, they're not really covering this. If you're like an average person who's not inside the Beltway, who's not politically connected, you have no idea that this debate is even happening. And that's what's most frustrating to me. Like, how do we get it to break through?
Yeah, and that's where the Democrats, you know, maybe if we had a functional party, an opposition party who, you know, went out and said things and held press conferences and went out into red districts in rural areas and held hearings, as I've been suggesting for quite some time. Maybe if we did some of that education, maybe if we held some rallies and some press events to get local news, maybe you're right. Maybe we would. If we had a functional opposition party, maybe. But here's the thing. The reason I keep saying go find a rural district is this is going to overwhelmingly harm rural districts across this country. Because as I understand, some 300 plus hospitals across the country will be closing down, and in the rural poor areas.
Yeah. I mean, as you correctly point out, there's about 300 hospitals, rural hospitals in this country that are already at immediate risk of closure. Their finances are so bad that today, right, they could close. They could close at any time. So if you imagine you're the CEO of one of those hospitals, you could be faced with an influx of patients who all of a sudden have no insurance reimbursement. That could really tip the scales and force you into closure. That's very scary. And yeah, I mean, rural areas tend to rely pretty heavily on Medicaid. Rural areas are also places where you don't necessarily make up the difference when all of a sudden, you know, overnight, you've got a tremendous loss in insurance coverage. We've only been talking about the health components of this bill. There are many other components in this bill, including changes to food assistance programs that would really hit grocery businesses, grocers, that would harm families living in rural areas that depend on government assistance to help them feed their families. This is like a grab bag of awful policies that are, it's really going to hurt low and middle income families.
And especially in rural areas. And look, part of my thought is, and this is horrible to say it, I know I'm going to get angry emails, but you know what? If you can afford a red hat, you can get that Trump t-shirt. Maybe you can afford to buy your own health care and your own food. If I'm just using Republican pull yourself up or don your cap or whatever logic, because it's the same kind of thing. But Andrew,
except they don't. I mean, Republican voters want, they don't want the Medicaid program to be cut. They don't. But yeah, but here we are.
Yeah, well, they put this guy here. Andrea, I appreciate the time. I would say good stuff. It's not. This is all terrible. It's all bad. And we're going to need to be calling our representatives. We should be raising a stink, maybe getting out in the streets. Maybe we've got a couple million people out in the street to talk about this. That'd be good. But yeah. Andrea Dukas, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
She's Vice President of Health Policy there at the Center for American Progress. Check out their most recent piece on how the House Republican Big Beautiful Bill is going to make health care more expensive for all of us. You can find that at AmericanProgress.org. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Right back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1865. That was the day that 2,000 Union soldiers marched into Galveston, Texas. With them, they carried the news that those enslaved were now free. The Confederate General Robert E. Lee had actually surrendered more than 2 months earlier. Why then was there a delay in delivering the news of emancipation to Texas? It might have been that there were not enough federal troops to enforce the order. It has also been speculated that freedom was postponed to allow enough time for the enslaved workforce to harvest one last crop of cotton before freedom. Whatever the reason, General Order No. 3 finally was delivered. It read, quote, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation of the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves." and the connection existing between them becomes that between employer and free laborer. On hearing of the news, the newly freed people celebrated. The next year, they celebrated again in a holiday that became known as Juneteenth. In the years that followed, the holiday spread to other cities. But in the segregated South, black residents were often barred from holding Juneteenth events on public land. That is why, in 1872, several black men in Houston purchased property and established Emancipation Park as a space to hold the celebration. In 1980, Texas became the first state to formally recognize Juneteenth. Today, this holiday is celebrated in black neighborhoods across the country, with gatherings, barbecues, songs, and remembrances of the fight for freedom. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Have you been following the Trump mobile situation? Evidently, we're going to have a new cell phones. Trump mobile. launched on Monday. Touted as American-made. And American-made phones. And on Monday, what happened Monday? They pulled the map of Trump Mobile because it still said Gulf of Mexico down in that little body of water that's known as the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, there was that. And the folks over at The Verge, they were looking at the maker of Trump's phone. And interestingly enough, they found, you know, several models somewhat close, quite similar, in fact, to the ones that are made in China. And look, we know, you know, Trump's history of producing things in China and then selling them here. I don't foresee that changing. But hey, you know, you got to give the guy credit. He knows how to fleece a flock, and good on them. I say, you know, if you bought the red hat, you might, and if you bought those $400 spray painted tennis shoes, you might as well get the phone. It's complete ensemble. Complete ensemble. Also, this should make my red hat friends very happy. Nippon Steel has finalized its deal to own 100% of U.S. Steel. So that means that the iconic American symbol of productivity and production, of the arsenal of democracy, if you will, well, it's probably going to be owned by a Japanese company. And why not? There's some interesting things in there. I'm waiting to see what the absolute details are and if what I'm hearing is true. But ultimately, there was a U.S. company that wanted to buy it. And I know. You're just being anti-China. Well, here's the thing. China's making a pitch for its currency to be part of the global currency to undermine and weaken the dollar's primacy, which, you know, I have some of my red hat friends who think that's a good idea. Again, not so sure I want China in that mix, but here we are. And finally, our Supreme Court should make the red hats all tingly in the panties. They sided 6-3 with a case that came out of Tennessee and Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors. And look, I've been very, very upfront about this. I think that should be really hard to do. I don't think parents should just be able to go, I think we're going to, but I don't want government regulating that. I don't want government. And this is where I thought I had my red hats with me. I don't want government being the decider in that. I want families, doctors, actual professionals, not politicians. And this is where, you know, the weird thing is I thought conservatives were anti-government, but here it is. You've got government over 26, I guess 26 states have similar laws. The Supreme Court has now upheld it 6-3. And we know the six, we know the three. No surprise here at all. Now, can we get rid of this issue? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast. You'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@therickssmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Severe weather moved across dozens of states today, and some areas could still be in the path of the storms, says meteorologist Craig Allen.
Some of the major cities that have to watch out for this dangerous, dangerous weather. Milwaukee and Boston and Pittsburgh, Madison, Wisconsin, Columbus, Georgia. Then we have areas like New York City and Charlotte, North Carolina, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, Newark, New Jersey.
Hurricane Eric made landfall in Mexico. Mexico today is a Category 3 hurricane before being downgraded to a tropical storm. President Trump says he'll decide soon whether to join Israel's campaign against Iran's nuclear program.
The president has repeatedly stated Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. But whether the U.S. will take direct action against Iran?
I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks.
White House President